Romans 11. I say then, God has not rejected his people, has he? May it never be. For I too am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Or do you not know that the scripture says in the passage about Elijah how he pleads with God against Israel? Lord, they have killed thy prophets, they have torn down thine altars, I alone am left, and they are seeking my life. But what is the divine response to him? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. In the same way, then, there has also come to be at the present time a remnant according to God's gracious choice. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works, otherwise grace is no longer grace. What then? That which Israel is seeking for, it has not obtained, but those who were chosen obtained it, and the rest were hardened. Just as it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes to see not, and ears to hear not, down to this very day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a retribution to them. Let their eyes be darkened to see not, and bend their backs forever. I say then, they did not stumble so as to fall, did they? May it never be. But by their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make them jealous. Now, if their transgression be riches for the world, and for their failure be riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their fulfillment be? But I am speaking to you who are Gentiles, inasmuch as then, as I am an apostle of Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. If somehow I might move to jealousy my fellow countrymen and save some of them. For if their rejection be the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? And if the first piece of dough be holy, the lump is also, and the root be holy, the branches are too. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive, were grafted in among them and became partakers with them of the rich root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. But if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. Quite right, they were broken off for their unbelief, but you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Behold then, the kindness and severity of God, to those who fell severity, but to you God's kindness, if you continue in his kindness, otherwise you will also be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. And for if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more shall these who are the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And thus all Israel be saved, just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob, and this is my covenant with them, when I take away their sins. From the standpoint of the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but from the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. And just as you once were disobedient to God, but now have been shown mercy because of their disobedience, so these also now have been disobedient in order that because of the mercy shown to you, they also may be shown mercy. For God has shut up all in disobedience, that he might show mercy to all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and unfathomable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given him that it might be paid back to him again? For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Amen. So chapter 11 gives us a little continuation of his thought. Remember, it's the rejection, right, of the gospel amongst the Jews, and then it's the acceptance amongst the Gentiles. And so he starts off chapter 11, and he gives, you know, he's giving a whole now history of the world through the lens of the Jewish and the Gentile worlds. And he gets to 11, and talks about the current state of Israel, right? And this is kind of an interesting passage for us. I want to talk about something that may be a little off the subject, but relates to this. And more so, you know, what should be as a Christian now? You know, the question is, what should be our view about Israel? You know, what should our stance be, you know, in terms of, you know, the Old Testament, you know, all these different things that we read? You know, what are we supposed to be thinking about these days? And There's a couple different theories that are out there. You've heard the word Zionists. You know, these are very pro-Israel. You know, they obviously believe that Israel is still God's chosen people, you know, which they are, and that they should inhabit the land that God has given them. You know, a lot of the fighting that's going on right now is in relation to the Zionist movement. You know, they brought back Jewish people from all over the world that were part of what they call the diaspora. In other words, the scattering. You know, and they brought them all back from Russia, you know, from Ukraine, you know, from Europe, from the States, and, you know, very gentle, generous subsidies they gave to the people. They gave them land, you know, to occupy this land that they believe God has given to them. That's one school of thought. The other school of thought amongst Christians, right, you know, is what we call replacement theology. And what this says basically is that, you know, God's hand is now is this is a very simplified version, okay? God's hand is now off of the Israelites, and now God's hand is on the church. You know, and so the idea is that now the blessing of God has been replaced, or I should say the Israelites are now replaced by the church, by the Christians. And you'll find this very prevalent in Washington, D.C. You know, a lot of the Christians that are in power, most of them operate out of this theology, out of this replacement theology. You know, God's hand is off the Israelites. Now his hand is on the Gentiles, you know, the church, you know, primarily. You know, and so you have a whole school of thought that goes in there. And so, I mean, talking on a political realm, you know, you have someone like George Bush, you know, and Condoleezza Rice, who are very devout Christians, but yet they're theology towards Israel is replacement theology. And so they have no problems asking Israel to give up land, you know, to appease, you know, the Arabs and independent Palestinian state and so on and so forth. That is rooted out of their theology, you know. And so then, okay, what then you say, okay, what's the balance then, right? And what I personally believe myself, you know, and most other Christians as well, is what we call this graft, idea that God has not forsaken Israel, right? And Paul says it may never be. That's not the case, right? But what happens now? The church is literally grafted, right? The root and the tree and the olive branch and all these things he's talking about. He's talking about, you know, the nation of Israel, and what it is now that it's the church is now grafted into, right, the history of Israel. You know, and so, you know, what we have, you know, the Old Testament, you know, they relate to us, you know, in a way. You know, I mean, it's not purely in the sense that, you know, it's out of their own history, but it relates to the church, you know, in the sense that we can glean things, you know, from the Old Testament, from the Old Covenant. And we would all say to ourselves, our father is also Abraham. You know, and there's this grafting that's taking place. So what Paul is trying to do here, you know, he's giving us a picture because he's speaking to primarily a Gentile audience, okay? So you have to remember that. It's the Roman church, okay? The believers in Rome. But he's talking to the current state of Israel, but his response is, hey, don't be proud. You know, you are grafted into this thing. And so you can't think that God's rejection of Israel, which, you know, has the benefit of the acceptance of the Gentiles, but he says, don't be proud about that. Don't boast in those things. You know, just continue to fear, right? Because if their rejection brought about salvation and whatnot, his question is, what do you think their acceptance will do? You know, and so this goes into a whole other kind of like an end time theology. If you ever heard the word eschatology or eschatological, you know, that just means the end times, right? And this whole idea is that God has set a number, you know, of the Jews, right, to be saved. I'm talking about Messianic Jews, you know, and when that number is reached, you know, people believe the end will come, you know, and so there's a major push, you know, in the world and in the modern church, you know, to go to witness to the Jews. You know, there's a huge movement, a worldwide movement called Back to Jerusalem, you know, and interestingly enough, You know what segment of the church really is grabbing hold of this vision? It's actually the Chinese church. You know, most of the Western church has no idea of what we're talking about right now. You know, it's the whole idea that the gospel, when Jerusalem went around the world, now it's going to go back. You know, and as it goes back, it's going back through all the centers, you know, of world religions and whatnot. I mean, pretty powerful, you know, kind of thing. There's a whole movement that's going back because, you know, God has set aside, you know, I mean, the passage is 7,000. Obviously, we're talking about more than that number, you know, but there's people that he has set apart, you know, amongst the Israelite people. And so he gets this whole idea. And so I feel like a very balanced approach to looking at this. You know, you go from being a Zionist, you know, to be a replacement theology or whatnot, is finding that kind of middle ground, you know. And, yeah, well, I mean, we're not Jewish people, right? But yet at the same time, we can glean from, right, and be a part of that heritage as part of God's chosen as we're grafted in. And think about like a surgery or something, you know. If you ever had a skin graft, right, you know, something's wrong, you know, they take a piece of skin from somewhere else and they graft it on, and then it becomes just like this, you know, normal skin, you know, that you have, right? I may end up having to do a graft later on. You know, assuming I got this huge mole on the side of my chest, you know, and if it gets any bigger, you know, the doctor's talking about they have to take a piece of skin from my leg, you know, and stick it on and remove the mole because it's about this big and things. And I don't know why I'm telling you that, guys, this stuff, but, you know, it's morning. And so, you know, so I, in other words, I'm saying, I know what the skin graft is going to be like, you know. But it comes on and it just molds perfectly, right? It lives. It's a living, you know, part of your life, of your skin and whatnot. And it's the same idea, right? That now we are grafted into Israel, you know. And so, you know, even for me, I'm not a Jewish person, obviously, you know. Even though, you know, the funny thing is, you know, a lot of Koreans think that they're the modern Jews for some reason. I don't know. There's a huge Korean Zionist movement. It's kind of hilarious when you think about it. But you know, like one of the things that if you've ever come to my house, I have a mezuzah, you know, on my door, you know. And if you're familiar with this, they you know, the Jews they consider the word of God to be so powerful, and a rabbi would basically prophesy, you know, over you. They would take the prophecy, the scripture, and they wrap it very thinly, right, in a scroll, and they were sticking in this thing called a mezuzah, you know, and you're meant to put it on the door of your house, right, and you're meant to, you know, slightly curve it, and when the rabbis, when the Jews, when they would depart their house, they would touch it, kiss, you know, and the same thing, and it was just this love for God's word, you know. I'm not a Jewish person, you know, but when I read that, I was like, man, that's so cool. You know, and so when I was in Israel, I decided to buy a mezuzah myself. You know, actually, it's my mom who really wanted one, you know, and put it on our door. And every time I walk by, you know, I'm always reminded of just the goodness of God's word. You know, every time I come into my house, right, the first thing I see is the mezuzah, you know, and I'm reminded of, you know, God's word is so good, it's so rich, you know, it's so applicable in our life. And we want our house to be based on the word of God. Right, and so that's a part of the grafting, you know. We're not Jewish, but it's part of our heritage, you know, in that way, you know, because as the people of God, you know, and so we can, you know, very skillfully, you know, graft, and obviously a lot of the old covenant is replaced by the new covenant. You know, we don't have to go through all the Levitical laws and sacrifice this and that animal, because the one sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ, has paid it all, right? It is finished, right? And so that's part of this grafting that's taking place, right? It's taken from the old, you know, it's also the new as well, you know, and you kind of put these things together. And it's not like we choose one or the other, right? But where the new covenant has replaced the old covenant, we come alongside of that. We come in agreement to that. You guys can understand what I'm talking about? You know, and so we you know, we have this idea that we move forward in. All right, so let's close our eyes today. It's a little different than we normally do on morning prayer. But let's spend some time and let's pray for Israel. I mean, you will have to admit, you know. I mean, even if you're not a Christian and, you know, you don't really believe in all this, you know, kind of stuff, you'd have to admit that Israel, right, Palestine, is the most volatile place in the world. 9/11, you know, all these things. It's like biblical, you know? The fighting between the Jews and the Arabs, it goes all the way back to Genesis. It's crazy stuff that's being played out in our history today. The Bible commands us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It says, in its peace, you will have peace. And so as the Janelle leads us in a song, let's just be mindful of the peace of Israel, the peace of Jerusalem, God's city, David's city.
Wisdom and all the way.
And let's pray. Let's pray for this remnant that Paul is talking about here, that God would save, that God would begin to move through, either in the Israel world or the Gentile world. Right? There are people that God has called His own. And let's just be lift up. And if you're ministering or witnessing to someone these days, huh, let's ask God for that word of salvation to go forward in power, right? You know, but always keeping in mind, right, just praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Let's pray together. Let's pray over our community, especially ones, relatives and people that are sick. Let's just, you can look up the ones that have cancer, have tumors, or going through chemotherapy. Let's just lift them up. Pray ones that are sick, but also more importantly need to be saved. Let's lift them up. Pray for others that are ill and ones that are looking for work. Let's lift them up. Let's pray over our local ministries today. Let's lift up all the churches here in Hong Kong. Let's pray for YWAM, Sports Services International, Shanti Ministries, and Masters Beauty. Let's ask the Lord's hand upon them. Let's lift up our church ministries. Let's pray for Noah's Ark, the nursery, and the youth ministry. Pray for Pastor Carol and the volunteers, and lift up Pastor Nate and the teachers. Let's just cover each of the kids that we would really take the responsibility to raise them in a godly manner. Let's lift them up. Let's pray for McCain House Church tonight as they meet. Lastly, let's lift up our weekend before the Lord. Tonight, IP is meeting. Let's ask God to bless them as they pray God's purposes. Let's pray on Saturday. We have our premarital counseling session for all the engaged couples. Let's pray for a very fruitful time. Pray for our Sunday services. We have our special baptism service. Pray for our pool and everything would go well. Pray for our candidates who are being baptized. Ask God's hand to be with them. And then the second service, we have our joint service with the Korean church. And let's pray for a fruitful time there as well. The Indonesian ministry will be performing something. Joanne will be singing. Let's just really pray over this weekend that God would really move upon us in a very powerful way. All the stuff, all the servants, the welcoming, barista, children's ministry, worship teams. Let's just lift them up to the Lord and pray that they would just offer the Lord their very best before Him. Let's lift up this weekend. I also forgot to mention the women's ministry are meeting tomorrow as well. Let's lift up their meeting. Father, we thank you, God. Lord, we are so grateful, God, and blessed, Lord, that you've chosen us, God, and God, that you saw fit that our eyes would be open to the gospel, Lord. And God, there's many others, Lord, around us, God, family members, Lord, friends, colleagues, God, who the God of this age has blinded their eyes so they cannot see the light of the gospel. And so we pray, God, for an unveiling to occur, Lord. We pray, God, that you use us, Lord, to be able to bring the witness, God, of the gospel to their lives, Lord. God, we ask for your mercy to be extended, Lord. Continue to cover us this weekend, God. We just pray for just a glorious baptism service, Lord. And so come, Holy Spirit, and just breathe, God, in the sanctuary, Lord. We thank you, Father God. Watch over us this weekend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Keep warm and please feel free to continue to pray and seek the Lord.